When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feed to the right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the unofficial podcast of RinkRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville. I just want to go over a couple of housekeeping items before we get going here. You can find us on Twitter at RinkRoyalty and also at Royalty_pod. So it's been a while, guys, since we've actually just sat around and talked about some Kings hockey. So I'm going to bring in my partners in crime for this episode. First of all, our fearless leader, Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, Ryan?
Am I your fearless leader?
Yes, yeah, you are. The fearless leader of Rink Royalty.
You've never showed fear in my eyes.
Never.
I think we've mistakenly fallen off the edge here.
Okay, watching modest, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
no, cool. I'm doing great. I'm great, guys. You know, Jared Anderson Dolan is back, my guy. I'm not sure if he's going to be in the lineup tonight, but either tonight or Friday, so I'm doing well.
I think I saw something earlier from the mayor there saying that he is in.
Okay. Oh, he is awesome. Okay.
Yeah, he said something about Elias Anderson's out, and that leaves the one and the only JAD to be back into the lineup tonight.
Okay. No, because in today's meeting call this afternoon, someone asked McClellan about JAD, and McClellan said he's quote very close to returning. So yeah. He didn't specify, but yeah.
Yeah, he said either today or Friday.
Yeah.
So he was channeling his inner Daryl Sutter and being very clear about what his plans were.
Pretty much.
You have to see him draw on a Zoom call, though.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's like banging it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, just because I didn't get to properly introduce you, that voice you just heard is Mr. Ryan Cowley, our other so-called partner in crime tonight. How you doing, bud?
Overall, Scott, I'm doing very well. I hope you and Ryan are doing well, too. And it's been weird the last couple of days about Kings game, and we're excited tonight. So,
Well, and you know, we got teased because we thought we were going to get one Monday night, and that, of course, did not happen. You know, so since it's been a while, why don't we go back to the Anaheim series and talk about that first? The series that the Kings played before they rolled into Colorado. So Monday night, March 8th, I believe it was, they lost a heartbreaker, 6-5 over at the Pond. Yeah. You know, overall, probably not the Kings' best game of the year, but they showed some pluck and stayed in the game and lost in overtime, unfortunately. So, so Ryan Sykes, what'd you see out of that game?
Well, as like you said, it was a very frustrating game. You know, it seemed like every time the Kings would, I guess, respond to the Ducks would get some some lucky bounce. You know, Ben Hutton scored. What does that tell you?
I know, right?
But, has he ever scored for LA?
Yeah. Adrian Kempe obviously got the hat trick, but it kind of was lost in the 6-5 overtime loss. It was just a frustrating game. You know, a lot of people were blaming Cal Peterson for that, but, I mean, a lot of it had to do with just kind of the bounces in front of him.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, I don't know if anybody noticed that lucky rabbit's foot that fell out of Ben Hutton's equipment after he scored. So
I noticed.
Thank God nobody skated over and got injured.
I know. What, he signed what, like the day after the season started with them?
Yeah.
He knew he was going to score in that game.
Oh, you knew that, right? I'm just surprised it wasn't the game winner.
It's the only reason they signed him. Now he's on waivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but you know, the following game, two nights later, correct? Tuesday night? Yeah. Or, I'm sorry, Wednesday night. The Kings showed the Ducks who was boss.
Yeah.
Dominated that game 5-1.
Roznick. How about him, huh?
I know, right? Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, you would almost thought he was a Zamboni driver or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Or an accountant.
Yeah. But the Kings dominated right from the start and all the way through the finish. And you know, despite what happened on Monday night, I think the Kings really did prove that they are the better team this year. I know that's not going to sit well with some of our Anaheim Duck fans, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah, you look at the Monday game and you look at the Wednesday game, they still took 3 out of a possible 4 points. Adrian Kempe had 5 goals in the 2 games, and obviously you got a big performance from Groznick, his first win in over 6 years. You know, when Cal Peterson landed on the COVID protocol list and Jonathan Quick was out injured, you know, Troy stood on his head. I think he couldn't ask for anything more.
And I just want to go like, you know, we're talking about the 5-1 win, but like, but Peterson, the night before in Anaheim, I mean, yeah, no, he didn't have his greatest game of the year. It's pretty shaky, but you know what? To Peterson's tremendous credit, his next game, which was in Denver, oh man, I guess if you're going to like great performances, you know, for argument's sake, let's say his night Anaheim was a D-. Well, that was the D-, was anywhere between like,
it was awesome.
Yes, A+.
He had a career high 44 saves in that game. Obviously, Nathan MacKinnon had the empty netter that kind of sealed it, and Rantanen had the goal from the point, the seeing eye goal, for lack of a better phrase. And the Kings, I think, were outshot 46-18. They just really couldn't get anything going.
Well, and that's just it. And just going back real quick to that 5-1 victory, I just want to say that the part that impressed me the most about Troy Groznick's performance, I love the dance at the end.
Yeah, that dance. I love that.
But no, he was great. But yeah, I mean, with that first Colorado game, you know, the thing is too, yeah, you're going to have bad games, right? I mean, those are going to happen. But if this is going to be a playoff team, if they're going to get to that next level, you can't give up that many shots on goal.
No.
Especially really not against a Colorado team.
No, no.
You're flirting with disaster at best, and you're going to get destroyed at worst. You know,
I don't know if you guys have taken kind of a peek at the Western, the West Division standings, but it is kind of like a clear kind of defining point between that fourth place and fifth place now. You know, the Blues are, who we're playing tonight, they're at 33 points, and then the Kings are in fifth place with 28 points. Obviously, everyone above the Blues is kind of hovering around, with exception of the Golden Knights and the Wild. They're up near, you know, closer to 40 points. But the Avalanche, you know, they've kind of stepped it up a notch. Mm-hmm. Last night, yeah, they scored 6 straight goals against the Ducks. Yeah. They're starting to get healthy. They're starting to get bodies back. You know, they're going to take off. The Blues, again, who are playing tonight, have lost 4 straight. That game's going to be really interesting because their power play and penalty kill are both league average. Their shots on goal and shots forced are both league average, right around 30 per game. Their power play is not so great, and neither is their penalty kill. The Kings just have to bring it tonight. We heard Alex Iafallo in today's media presser. He said while the break was nice, you know, we were hoping to get back in there on Monday because we were really pissed off.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you know, that's the whole key right there too. And you know, that break actually helped out, let the Brownie heal up an extra day.
It did, and quick, and Jared Anderson Dolan. So I mean, it was a blessing, but it's hard to carry that same mentality of being pissed off for another 2 days, you know?
Yeah.
You just have to hope they come out fast.
Well, mm-hmm. And you know, guys, I hate to say this about a game halfway through the season, but with the Colorado Avalanche turning it on like they are, it doesn't look like the Minnesota Wild are going to go away. So you almost have to start wondering if we're not getting close to must-win territory.
Yeah.
Especially with teams that you're trying to catch, like the Blues. Because honestly, the way it looks right now, and things could change. You know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time, somebody could go on a losing streak, and we're talking about something entirely different. But as of right now, it looks like it's going to have to be the Blues that they're going to hunt down if they're going to get into the playoffs.
I agree.
No, because especially the way this season's going, where the same 8 teams are playing each other. I mean, standings fluctuate anyway, but with our situation, they're going to fluctuate even more. But I'm sure I'm wrong. No, but that's what you said, Scott, about Vegas and Minnesota. I mean, barring something unforeseen, I just don't see them slowing down at all.
Well, Minnesota, I think, is a team that surprised a lot of people. I mean, obviously, you knew that Kaprizov was going to be playing at the NHL level this year, but I don't think anyone expected him to be this damn good, you know?
No, that's right.
Incredible.
No. Well, that's the whole thing. But you know what? There and again is what? He played 5 years in the KHL, I think it was?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, but yeah, they're also getting – and I'll let you finish. I sound like Kanye West there. Sorry, Scott.
You're good.
But they're also getting outstanding goaltending in Kaapo Kähkönen.
Yeah.
Maybe Kähkönen, he is on a torrid pace right now. I believe he has wins in 9 straight games.
Yes.
And I was reading this out on Twitter. I think only 9 or 10 other rookies have done that in NHL history. And before Jordan Binnington, who was the most recent, I think the last one was 20 years ago, at least.
Yeah, he's incredible. Yeah,
so it's a rarity. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just overall, that team is just playing so much better than anybody ever even imagined.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I thought that, you know, they're on a hot start. They're going to come back to earth, right? Because in my eyes, they don't have a legit number one center, at least in the classic mode of what you would think, but they're just making it happen game after game after game. And this team is not going away.
No.
No.
And yes, Ontario just scored.
Yeah, there we go. We'll get to Ontario, but yeah, they're already up 1-0. But Minnesota, like you said, Scott, they don't have a true number one center. They're just getting contributions from all over. Their forecheck is it's suffocating. You know, when we played them, you know, they didn't by any means blow the doors off us, but you know, they made life hell for us.
Sure. I was going to say like another fact of Minnesota is it's just their like overall stature, because like if you went to LA in like 2012 and 13, you'd be intimidated by the Jeff Carrs and Dustin Penners, who were 6'3", 6'4". But you've got Kaprizov, who's 5'9". You've got Zuccarello, who's 5'7". No. I don't think anyone will come out and admit it, but I think people have that kind of subconscious belief that that you know these guys are smaller, so we can take them no problem. And then of course they're in for a big surprise.
Yeah.
Well, hey, don't forget, Zuccarello plays with a bigger stick than his entire height. So
that's true. That is true. Yeah.
but you know, I mean, kind of pivoting away from Minnesota, the good news for the Kings is, yes, we're sitting in fifth place. But honestly, and I don't want to get overconfident just yet, But I don't think, so long as things stay the way they are, they're not going to have to worry about the other three teams below them being very much of a threat over.
I don't think so.
Now, I say that now, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I probably just jinxed them. So if if it happens, everybody can blame me. That's fine.
Yeah, you know? Way to go, Scott.
I just got this way of making people mad.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch him. I'm going to bed.
Good night. I don't know this guy.
But I mean, the Kings are one of the only four teams in the division with a positive goal differential. St. Louis is in fourth place with a -4. The other three below the Kings are at -18 in Coyote, -15 in the Sharks, -36 in the Ducks.
36.
Yeah. The Ducks have 8 wins, guys.
And you know what the sad part is that Jonathan Gibson's actually having a good season.
I know he is.
He is.
Save percentage metrics and all that, obviously not in the win column, but he really has been outstanding for them, all things considered.
That's really no fault of his, the win-loss.
But... Right. Well, and that's exactly it, you know.
Wow.
But no, like I said, I think they at least got to come away with 1 point tonight. Guys against St. Louis, I really, really started to think that. But
especially with Vegas looming. I mean, I hope they're not looking ahead to this weekend series because I mean, the last series against Vegas was a nightmare. They're so fast. They're like Colorado. You know, they can just hit you with everything. And Mark Stone, Pacioretty. Shea Theodore, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on, and Fleury's having an outstanding year.
Leiter's coming back too.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a reason why they're at the atop the division right now.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And you know, if you're looking even further ahead of the schedule, they've got they got Vegas and then they got Colorado again, I think, before they get a few games against the Sharks. So really, this next 2 weeks can pretty much determine the Kings' playoff fate. You fall apart in these next 2 weeks, stick a fork in it. It's over.
Yeah, just real quick, Ryan, just to what Scott was saying, it's Vegas, the Sharks, Vegas again, the Sharks, and the Coyotes. So, I mean, if they can kind of maybe split those series with Vegas and then just dominate the rest, I think they might come out okay at the end of the month and rolling over into April.
Yeah, what did I say? Colorado? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, that's what I get for trying to go off the top of my head. As you can see, it looks like a ski slope without my head on. But,
we still have 4 more games against them, though.
Yeah,
you know, and the optimists, like, I mean, not judging them, but, you know, they like say, oh, well, there's still plenty of season left. In a way, there is. But when you think, I mean, this is the 17th. We're, like, once March ends, we only have 1 full month left.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 5 weeks in total, I think.
Yeah, by May 8th is when the season.
Yeah, May 8th. That's it.
You're right. Yep, May 8th.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, not for nothing, but we're actually still waiting here on when that Kings Blues game is going to be made up.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So, wouldn't that be something if it turned out that was going to be the decider?
Well, can you imagine?
Oh my God, no, I couldn't.
Oh my gosh.
If I was working that night, I'd be calling in. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No. I'm usually the one that says when they get to overtime, okay, they got a point. Yeah, well, I won't be saying that in that.
No.
Oh, just one, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I mean, their fate is pretty much determined over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, then you got the trade deadline looming.
That's right.
I don't really expect them to be buyers of at all.
No,
regardless of where they're sitting, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think they'll be buyers, but they may entertain offers from Jonathan Quick. But I mean, we talked about it with Dennis Bernstein. What are they going to do with a 4th round pick? You know?
Yeah,
exactly. They don't need any more picks unless they're planning on stockpiling some more picks to maybe package for a big deal in the offseason.
Sure. Unless it's part of something bigger, you know?
You know, that could very well happen. I mean, I guess there is an adage that you can never have too many draft picks, but in a sense you can. Yeah,
but at some point you got to start getting these established players. You know, you can't keep getting these projects. I don't want to say projects. You know, that's the wrong word for it. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, you draft a player and hope that he pans out, like a Mikey Anderson or, you know, it's way too early to call him that now. But Jordan Spence, you know, obviously the potential is there for the 4th round pick. In, I guess, a quick case.
Right. And, you know, on the especially with defensemen, they take so much longer to develop. And I think Quentin Byfield just scored again. But the defenseman takes so much longer to develop than a forward, usually. So, I mean, if you're going to start packaging for established talent, you got to start looking if you're going to be going after that defenseman. And I know, like, the left wing one is a big-time wish list. But there's going to be plenty of left wings available in the offseason via free agency. So if you're going to make the splash in free agency, I think that's where you look, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, Scott, you kind of touched on it today with your article. You kind of outlined what the opening roster might look like next season, potentially alluding to that the Kings need to make a move in the offseason because it's just not not good enough, I guess I'll say.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, and that's just it. You know, I mean, if you really look at it with all the players they have under contract right now, you're not really looking at that much drastically of a different roster next season than you are what you have with what you have right now. And if you're right. going to take the next level, you got to build on that.
Yeah.
And I know play the kids. I get it. I want to see the kids play too. But you can't take a half step back by throwing them all in at the same time and saying, oh, well, this is going to be their learning season. Because how many learning seasons are you going to have?
Yeah, right. Really.
Especially right. with Kopitar being 33 and Doughty 31 now. You're kind of running out of time on those guys.
Precisely.
Their contracts will say otherwise, but as far as talent level, you know,
exactly.
they need to get moving here.
If you're going to give that core one last chance, you're absolutely right, Ryan. You got to start putting the tire to the road, so to speak, and start getting some established talent in there. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Do we want to touch on the rain real quick and then just kind of wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely, because they're on the opposite end of the screen right now, and I do believe that was Quentin Byfield that got his got the goal. Puts the rain up 2-0.
Two goals in as many games.
Yes.
So looks like Mr. Byfield's getting a little used to the AHL, huh?
Yes. And a few nights ago, Alex Turcotte got the monkey off his back, scoring his first. So, you know, it's
He certainly did.
Very good overall.
Hey, what do you guys think about Alex Turcotte as the left winger?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know.
He's not a guy that I guess maybe you project 3 years ahead. He's not a guy that you projected to be on the wing in 3 years.
No,
not really.
Here's the thing you got to think about. Okay, so you got three more seasons of Kopi after this season, right? You want Byfield to eventually take over for Kopi as the number one center.
Yes. Okay?
You got Vilardi slotted in as a 2C, which, regardless of the numbers, I'll tell you, I think he's done a good job, all things considered. Mm-hmm. I really do. He's developing nicely. So,
well, that and Scott, where is Jeff Carter gone?
Right.
Well, he's gonna be on the
way. What has happened to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe Father Time's starting to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. His man age. Yeah. it was kind of rhetorical because he started off fast, came off the core muscle surgery, looked like he was skating in 2010 out there. I think he had the first goal of the season, I think. Right.
I think right. so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Manny. But, you know, Vilardi's playing with them, and he's only getting really support from Athanasio right now.
Correct, yeah. Exactly. And don't forget, Vilardi actually matched very well with Ferk, who's been out all year.
Yeah, he played in one game and left earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
End of that game.
Yep. So, but, you know, just going back to the center situation real quick, even looking into next season. So, with the way the centers are set up right now, Kopi's still going to be your number one center. I got to believe you keep Gabe Vilardi at your 2C next season.
Yeah.
You got to bring Byfield into the NHL next year. You cannot send him back to the OHL. You can't.
No. I agree. Okay?
He's got to have a spot. And if they don't fix that agreement about the AHL with the, you know, the underage kids going there, he's coming. And I think he should be in the NHL anyway. He's got to start breaking into the league. So you put him at the 3 spot, the 3C. Okay. Almost like eases him into the league. Gets some minutes, but it's not overly pressure minutes, okay? And obviously your fourth line center is JAD. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So,
if you want to get Turcotte up by the end of next season, where are you going to put him? On the wing, right? So get him used to playing the wing this year, and then eventually, as Kopi starts sliding down the lineup a little bit, maybe you can start moving Turcotte over to the center, you know, with LA, say 2 to 3 years. But honestly, it's not a bad idea getting him used to playing a wing right now. I really don't think so.
It's working. I mean, the Rain are up 2-0 right now. They've won their last three. They're scoring the last three games. They've scored 4.7 goals per game, and they're only allowing 2 goals per game.
Yeah.
But the defense has been a major question. The offense has been kind of hit or miss.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. And even, and I know they haven't got much support, but the goaltending was kind of a question mark for the Rays so far, too.
Sure.
But even that's been solidified. So things are looking up. It's just too bad they got dug into such a deep hole. But
yeah, it might unfortunately be too much of a hole. But, I mean, I don't want to sound insensitive, but, it's really just kind of about the player's development.
Right. But I'll tell you, I was actually a little bit worried for a bit because – yeah, I know it's all about development, but you don't want them in a losing environment for too long either.
Sure, sure. It'd be like Buffalo,
Right.
Perfect segue to Ralph Kruger being fired today.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that was a little bit overdue in Buffalo, to be honest with you.
Definitely.
As much as everybody loves Ralph Kruger, how much longer are you going to let that go on?
Yeah.
Right.
You just can't.
Yeah, No. I mean, Ralph Kruger is a great coach, the NHL level, I say that in general, but Buffalo specifically, the Sabres were a colossal mess long before Kruger got there,
No doubt. And, sometimes at some point you got to start asking yourself the question too, is maybe it is Jack Eichel. And I know Sabres fans may not like to hear that, but how many more coaches are they going to go through satisfying him?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not all Jack Eichel's fault. But when you're the face of the franchise and you got the big contract, good or bad, you're going to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just here's a real quick thought, guys, before we go sign off. I just want to let everybody know that Buffalo does only have 5 draft picks in this upcoming draft. Need to start.
Let's make a trade.
So that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, there you go.
Manny, cue in the let's make a deal.
Yeah. You guys know who I'm banging the drum for. You know that.
Oh, so. I know.
So he I say, collect some more draft picks at the trade deadline this year so we can give them to Buffalo and get that Rasmus Dahlin in L.A. That's what I say.
He got spun around like a 13-year-old skater the other day, but, he was also going against Alex Ovechkin. So,
I just want to say something about that real quick because I know he took some heat, and obviously he did. You're right, Ryan. He got spun around. But – for one thing, they're teaching young defensemen now to defend with your stick, right? They're always trying to teach you to poke check, which is what he tried to do. And honestly, if you've got 6'3", 240-pound Alex Ovechkin bearing down on you, do you really think you're going to take him out with a shoulder check?
No, it's too good.
I don't think so.
Been in the league too long. He knows he's seen it all.
Yeah, I mean, Dahlin would have ended up launched into the second deck of the KeyBank Center if he'd have tried that. So.
Yeah. I guess on the same age note, I think Tobias Bjornfoot took way too much flack for the goal that he kind of
on Kadri.
I don't want to say he was responsible for, but Kadri made him look silly on that with a toe drag. But it's just a learning moment for him. He took way too much flack.
Oh, and it was like I said, it was the same thing with Dahlin. That's what they teach now. They try to try to defend with your stick, and there's the downfall of trying to do that.
Sure.
Yeah,
and Kadri, you can say whatever you want about him, but you have to give credit where it's due, and give Kadri a tremendous amount of that, right?
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Kadri's one of those guys whether you like him or hate him, you always want him on your team.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And you're right, Manny. You do have to feel bad for the fans of Buffalo, and I can tell you, as somebody who has seen several games in Buffalo, they have a very tremendously knowledgeable fan base. There's a great hockey city. And I'll tell you what, if you want wings and a beer, the place to go is Buffalo, New York.
Well, on that subject, because I live in Toronto now, and my wife and I were talking about moving down to the St. Catharines, Niagara area, which is closer to Buffalo. And we were saying, hey, we can move near Buffalo, cheaper games. Yeah,
cheaper games,
but the quality of hockey would not be quite as good.
Well, I'll tell you what, if and when the Kings ever do get to play in Buffalo again, we'll have to meet up out there for a game.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just watch from the sidelines, guys, because I'm in Chicago. So I'll do my own podcast while you guys are there.
We'll FaceTime you. How's that sound? Oh, All right, guys. Well, listen, it's getting to be just about time to drop the puck here. So I think we're going to wrap this up for now. But it was great talking to you guys.
Always absolutely. Love to always great talking to you guys.
We need to do this more often. I think we're going to do this again Saturday.
And, yeah, we should do it again Saturday around, 7:15 Central Time.
That's roughly. A great idea. Hey, look at that. That's great.
Just a preview for our listeners. We got the Bannerman podcast guys coming on. They're going to give us their grades of their 10 players at the midway point this season. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, this ought to get, this is going to be fun.
I'm both excited and nervous. So
Hey, listen, just as long as they don't bring grades for us, we're good.
Oh, exactly. I don't want to hear my grade.
We failed.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
We're just going to turn the show over to them. That's it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, listen, right. We're 30 seconds from puck drop, so we're going to wrap this up. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. For Mr. Ryan Sykes, for Mr. Ryan Cowley, I'm Scott Kendall. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast.
See you guys.
Take care.